Final hour on this Monday. To be honest, it's the final hour for me this week, but Lucas and a cast of characters are going to have you covered throughout the rest of the week as well. Actually, you're off tomorrow as well, so we don't know who's going to be running the show, but we know that they will keep you entertained here on 104.5 The Zone. So we're going to finish strong today, the two of us. We're going to go out to St. Thomas Sports Park because the Titans head coach, Mike Vrabel, is at the podium right now.
Well, I mean, there's not much mentally. You know, I mean, we put the ball on the ground. You know, everybody did. Everybody that carried it, you know, contributed to that. It can't happen. We can't turn the ball over in plus territory. You know, we knew that we needed to finish drives with points, whether those were field goals or, you know, obviously would love to have touchdowns. But, you know, there were, you know, like there's going to be in every game mental errors when you're playing a good defense or any defense. There's just those happen. And, you know, what can't happen are interceptions and critical mistakes and fumbles, the penalties. You know, the field position game was, you know, atrocious. You know, they started on their 41-yard line. We started on our 24-yard line. You know, so this, when you're trying to beat good teams, there's just certain things you can't do. And again, we have to turn the football over defensively. You know, it's 16-13, and we're 19-13, whatever it was, and we've got a chance to intercept the ball and run until, you know, Jonnu probably makes the tackle. You know, they threw the ball over our head and, you know, missed tackles. And there's just a lot of things in all three phases that just not going to be good enough.
You guys to kind of get away and clear their minds, and is the reality a lot of them will just have to stay here to rehab?
Well, the ones that are hurt and that haven't been playing, yeah, they're all going to be here. They're going to be here to get healthy, to get back. You know, they pay me to coach. Amy pays the players to play, and that's what they'll do. They'll stay in here and get treatment until they, you know, feel better. And then some of them that have been playing for us may choose to go somewhere. I just, you know, I think that this is a good time for everybody to do what they feel like is best for them. You know, from a player's perspective, obviously the ones that have to be here will be here. You know, to try to focus on some mental recovery and some physical recovery.
Probably a similar question to what Luke asked, but Tannehill's numbers this year obviously much different than the last mm-hmm. two. How much of that is playing with a depleted, you know, receiver?
Well, I think Ryan has to be better. I think everybody has to be better around him. You know, we have to have to be better in the middle of the pocket. We have to be better on the edges. Do we get open quicker? You know, be decisive. And then, you know, ball placement and decision-making from the quarterback. So, you know, that's what it is. But we do need to be better throwing the football with whoever we're throwing it with. And obviously, starts with protection, starts with, you know, getting open, and then the quarterback having the trust to throw to the guys. And just like that, you know, he threw ball to Dez, and it was a good route, good protection. Looked like a football play. And then there's other plays that, you know, we need to be better on. You know, but again, I think that's just, it's not just one guy, but it's not just one guy.
Picking up on that a little bit, once upon a time, it seemed like pressure came from the edges. Quarterback was expected to step up in the pocket. Nowadays, it doesn't seem like there's anywhere to step up with the emphasis on the interior guys. Doesn't seem like Ryan's had much of a place to step up. Is that just kind of a
change? Well, there has been. You know what I mean? There has been. I think there has been some times, you know, where there was really good, firm pockets. And then, again, you can find, you know, evidence that's not the case. So, you know, we'll continue to work on all aspects of our passing game, our route concepts, and, you know, the timing and the protection. So I don't think it's just, you know, can't just say that it's just one thing over and over again. You know, and then, you know, there were times yesterday where they got in the middle of the pocket, Ryan scrambled, got 12 yards. So he used his legs. He did a nice job there. He was looking for Dez. He didn't throw it to Dez. Dez turned and blocked the guy, and, you know, Ryan got a few extra yards. So there's things that are good there, and then obviously just not good enough overall.
You think there's less of a pocket to step up to in general
around the league
football?
Because of the way defenses are constructed?
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Patriots had some pretty good pockets yesterday. when they threw the ball. We didn't do a good enough job of, you know, affecting the quarterback in the middle of the pocket. So I think that all depends on who's playing and what you're doing.
Interception, it looked like Hollister and Nick wound up at almost the same spot. I wonder if that was the case and if that should have been the case, if it was.
And the one in the back of the end zone? Yeah, man, at that point in time, you know, the first couple reads aren't there. So guys are trying to uncover and, you know, we just thought we could get them on the edge. They did a nice job, you know, couldn't progress through. And then at that point in time, guys are trying to uncover and become available to the quarterback.
Sure. Everyone's joined me in already tweeting NFL officiating as your request. But how frustrating is it to have to throw a flag on a play where a guy's not touched and crawls into the end zone?
Well, I mean, I understand where the kind of the confusion maybe or the misunderstanding came from, because you have to remember when a player gives himself up, right, whether that be at the 49 or 50-yard line or at the goal line, right, if you willingly give yourself up, as soon as any body part touches the ground, you're down. That's a player safety issue. It's been like that for a few years now when they changed the rules. So if a quarterback dives forward and willingly gives himself up, the ball is down. So we've seen some instances over the years where players, Marcus had one against Buffalo. There was one in Cincinnati. I don't even remember who the quarterback was. It was probably Carson Palmer. And then Wentz had one in Philly and whatever it may be, but they dive and then a knee touches the ground. And then there's also one where you're stumbling, you know, and you haven't completed the process of the catch or whatever that may be, and you're not down. And so my guess is that was the dilemma. I would be hopeful that the process from upstairs could say, hey, he hadn't become a runner yet. He wasn't giving himself up or he wasn't diving. He was in the process of completing a catch and was off balance. So that didn't happen. I guess that's where some of the frustration came from, was some of these that I think that the intent was to clean it up upstairs before it got to any sort of coach's challenge.
You're not happy with the two-game losing streak, the injuries, but do you like the spot you're in, five games left to play, and do you need to even remind your players of that, to be encouraged, you put yourself in a good position here?
Well, yeah, I mean, what I reminded them was that we were 15-5 in our last 20 road games, and that's because we had played good football, we had taken care of the football, we had run it, we had stopped the run, we were smart with penalties, and that's why you win on the road. But that didn't happen yesterday. You know, I don't know, Paul. Jim, I'm sorry. I don't know why. You know, I mean, really where we're at as far as, you know, looking too far down as far as five games. I think my focus is on today, trying to figure out who's going to be back, you know, after this week, what the roster is going to look like, and really focusing on each and every guy on what they may need mentally and physically to help them, you know, move on to the season after the bye week.
Was the success you did have in the run game yesterday important to sort of send the message that you're still going to have to respect our run game whether Derek's back there or not?
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of, you know, 1 yard, you know, contact at 1 or 2 yards that ended up in 5 or 6 yard runs. They ran hard. You know, we pushed some piles. We hit a couple of explosive runs. For obvious reasons, that those get overshadowed because of the way that some of the drives ended, you know, and whether that was a turnover or we, you know, unfortunately missed a field goal, just not ending those drives and points.
Did somebody on the coaching staff or scouting staff have a connection with Dontrell? Is that how you guys kind of got to know him pretty well? Or, you know, I guess why did you pluck him in particular out of all the guys out there?
Well, I think, you know, we had remembered when he was in Cleveland and thought that he was a pretty serviceable special teams player, had liked him, you know, and then the opportunity came up for us to add him, and he's really done a nice job taking advantage of his opportunities.
I would guess surpassed, as far as being an offensive player, has he surpassed what you might have expected?
You know, I try not to have a whole lot of expectations, but I would say that he, you know, would be somebody that's playing well for us right now and is going to earn opportunities as we move forward.
You indicated that Derek would be back around the guys as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Has he been?
Mm-hmm.
And where is he in terms of being around and participating with things?
He's on an injured reserve program, so he comes in after, you know, there's a lot of guys. We only have so many tables. There only have so much room in there. And so, you know, those guys are spaced out after, you know, when the team meeting starts, those guys usually come in and start their treatment. And then guys, you know, filter through as we, you know, have breaks. And so, you know, I don't see much of a reason to have those guys in meetings right now that don't have a, you know, usually about a week out, we try to put them, or what we think may be a week out, we start to put them in meetings based on each and every player. But he's around. He's around the guys. I see him in the training room and, you know, working hard to do everything he can to get back.
Up, a lot of fans think it's a logical connection to say, well, this must mean the strength and conditioning staff is not doing their jobs. I was wondering if you could speak to that and to your view of your strength and conditioning.
Yeah, that's staff. Great. I have the utmost confidence in Frank and Brian Bell and Mondre. So, and, you know, our training staff, Todd, like, I do. I think, and I appreciate that question, Luke. I've never suffered an injury, and again, I don't like to refer back to when I was playing, but I will in this instance. I never suffered an injury and said, damn strength coach. You know, I never said that. I never said that trainer sucks, and I know that that's not the case. You know, some of these things are unfortunate. You know, some of these injuries are just kind of part of football, but then you know, there is a large responsibility on the player to make sure that they're doing everything that they can to stay on top of things. The programs that we have them do, go back to use Corey Davis as an example, right? He had suffered some hamstrings, you know, early on. So then he was on a hamstring program. Or, you know, I remember Rashawn as a young player, maybe had an issue with his groin, and so then now he's on a groin program that they do religiously. And so a lot of this is, you know, you don't go to class. You know, as a young player, there's no class, there's no campus that you have to be on. You come in here and you do, you know, your prehab and you do all those routines. So a lot of that is falls on the player, the responsibility. And then some of it is just unfortunate that, you know, guys get injured out there playing.
Mike, how realistic is it with all the injuries of how much healthier you can get after the bye? With 17, I think it's the current number on IR, and then you had 5 declared out for this yesterday's game, and a rather lengthy injury report. How healthy can you get in a span of a week and a half?
I mean, we'll see. We'll see where we're at on Monday. Like right now, it's, you know, guys are, you know, taking them out to run, and, you know, hopefully we'll get some guys back. You know, I'm hopeful that there'll be some guys that are eligible to return, can return, and then we'll go from there. Some of the guys that aren't on injury reserve, we'll see where they're at, but we're going to need everybody that we can.
What kind of week did Golden have last week? It was a feeling there, you just needed maybe more time.
Yeah, that's a tough task to come in here and to be able to you know, grasp enough of the game plan and what we're doing. So we'll, you know, I know he's working hard to learn it, you know, what it is we're doing, and then we'll see where he is on Monday. But I know he's put a lot into studying just in the few days that he was here, and then you know, we'll see if he can help us.
I know you said a lot of it's on the player, but how much do you guys do as a staff to help kind of coach them through some things to stay healthy, like eating well, sleeping, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't mean it's all on the player. I'd say there's just some responsibility that you take, that your profession pretty much relies on your body and your health, and we understand how important that is. So, you know, we are doing a lot of those things. We try to coach everything that we can, you know, talking about routines and, you know, trying to find veteran players that have really good routines and look at their career and evaluate, you know, a guy like Kevin Byard, like how's his career gone and how does he, what kind of routine does he have? Like, so maybe some of the young DBs may want to try to emulate, you know, that routine. and try to find guys that are at their position that they can maybe relate to. That those are the best teachers as far as I'm concerned.
What about the mental health side of things? It's tough to be away and to continually suffer those injuries. How much is there from that standpoint in terms of offering them some help?
Always. I mean, we're always offering them help. You know, this is a very unforgiving business you know, we're always going to have to put somebody in it. They make us have 48 on game day and 11 on every snap. So we're always going to find guys. And so sometimes when you're hurt, you feel somewhat distant from the team because there's nothing you can do. You can't be out there in practice. You're on somewhat of a different schedule. You know, so I always think that's something that, you know, you continue to check in with guys and try to stimulate them and try to find ways to help them. You know, whether that's Caleb Farley, you know, Cam Batson, Briley Moore, guys that are, you know, obviously going to be, you know, done this year that have, you know, long rehabs. I think that's the critical part of it is the mental approach that they try to take day in and day out to help them recover and not get frustrated.
Coaches work every day this week, or are you?
No, we're not.
We're not. We're not. For a few days?
No, I'll be out of here on Wednesday.
That's Mike Vrabel grumbling a little bit at the end. Some really good stuff there to dive into. And if you want to react to anything that you heard the head coach say about where Derrick Henry is right now and his confidence, I thought the biggest takeaway was the utmost confidence in the strength and conditioning staff for the Titans, despite the rash of injuries. You want to react to any of that? You're welcome to jump in. Last hour, 615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Okay. So we got a lot of good stuff from Mike Vrabel's press conference. Is he still going up there? No, he's wrapped up for the day. I know offensive assistants and defensive assistants are talking to the media as well today. And then everybody's out for the foreseeable future. Week and a half to kind of get right and get this thing back on track to reset mentally after what has been a true slog. And more than anything, right, it's the physical health of the football team, although you cannot undervalue the mental side of things as well. And that's been a question that we've gotten a lot, whether it's you guys calling in about it or DMing me on Instagram or Twitter or just tweeting at me about when is it time to question whether the Titans strength and conditioning staff, training staff, are doing their job. And Mike Vrabel, I think it was a well-positioned question by our buddy Luke Worsham to say, hey, Mike, there's a lot of fans asking about this. We don't know what your process is. Can you kind of speak to that at this point?
And Coach. That's great. I have the utmost confidence in Frank and Brian Bell and Mondre. So, and, you know, our training staff, Todd, like I do. I think, and I appreciate that question, Luke. I've never suffered an injury. And again, I don't like to refer back to when I was playing. But I will in this instance. I never suffered an injury and said, damn strength coach. You know, I never said that. I never said that trainer sucks. And I know that's not the case. Some of these things are unfortunate. You know, some of these injuries are just kind of part of football. But then, you know, there is a large responsibility on the player to make sure that they're doing everything that they can to stay on top of things. The programs that we have them do, I'll go back to use Corey Davis as an example, right? He had suffered some hamstrings, you know, early on. So then he was on a hamstring program, or, you know, I remember Rashawn as a young player maybe had an issue with his groin, and so then now he's on a groin program that they do religiously. And so a lot of this is, you know, you don't go to class. You know, as a young player, there's no class, there's no campus that you have to be on. You come in here and you do, you know, your prehab and you do all those routines. So a lot of that is falls on the player, the responsibility. And then some of it is just unfortunate that, you know, guys get injured out there playing.
That's Mike Vrabel speaking to the media not 5 minutes ago. So the situation about the training staff, I mean, I don't think that any coach, Mike Vrabel or otherwise, would come out and say, yeah, our training staff sucks. They are the reason why we have dressed 86 players, a new NFL record in the last almost three decades of NFL football. And really, a number that only a couple of teams have seen in entire seasons, much less through 12 weeks. So I think that that is a, but I do think that he appreciated the opportunity to kind of address that. Because that's something, you know, without institutional knowledge of how specifically Todd Torricelli, who's the head trainer for the Tennessee Titans, how Todd does his job, how Frank Perino and Brian Bell, the strength staff, and their the rest of their staff, how they do their job compared to other guys in the league, I don't necessarily think it's a fair assessment for somebody like me, for example, to give you. But when Mike kind of walks you through how they approach it with a little more detail than you otherwise have, I think maybe it alleviates some concerns. Maybe it doesn't. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Bob in Smyrna up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Buck. My question is more about how they evaluate people for the draft and for free agent pickups. The last couple of years, we've drafted a lot of people that haven't been able to perform. I mean, Caleb Farley was a guy that has had a lot of injury problems. And then the free agency pickups, some of them haven't been too good. Julio Jones has hardly played at all. And he had a lot of injury problems the last couple of years in Atlanta. So I'm concerned about that. And then the last couple of drafts have been pretty miserable. You know, Isaiah Wilson and Raddins and Caleb Farley. It's just been a lot of mistakes, I think, that have put us in a place where we're up to 84, 85 players because of all these injuries.
Thanks for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. And I'm glad you brought that up, Bob, because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. His name's Moose. He's a cameraman in New England. I love Moose. He came here a couple of years ago for joint training camp practices between the Patriots and the Titans, and we've kept up since then. So I saw Moose on the sideline. We were talking about that because, and Moose, who has covered the Patriots for a long, long time for local television, basically said, yeah, John got that while he was here. He got that while he was working under Bill Belichick. They love to do that kind of stuff. And Bill Belichick famously does not have a stellar draft record, whether it's skill position players specifically they struggle with. Now, Christian Barmore and Mac Jones, they look like studs, the first and second round pick of the Patriots this most recent draft. But, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons was that, right? You're I don't want to say bargain hunting, but kind of for a player who's maybe got some stuff in the background, but that's been some time removed when he was a high schooler, a younger person, and then he tears his ACL in the draft process and he falls to 19 and you're licking your lips because you want him bad. Caleb Farley had that same conversation around him, right? Where people are talking about him potentially as the most talented corner in this draft, and he falls to the Titans at 22 was the Caleb Farley selection, I believe, this year. 22 or 24, I can't recall off the top of my head. I believe it was 22. But, you know, and to say the last two drafts have not worked out in your favor. Now, you do have Christian Fulton to account for that. You have Chris Jackson, who I think has been a solid player, but not a day-in, day-out starter. Laurel Murchison, meh. And Darrington Evans, who I don't think they think much of at all as far as the coaching staff is concerned. I think that's the 2020 version of Des Fitzpatrick, and the difference is at least Des Fitzpatrick is available. So there's a lot of different ways that you can look at this, and there's no question that having four draft picks, if you'll recall back to I believe it was 2018 with Harold Landry and Rashawn Evans and Dane Cruikshank and Luke Falk, where you're trading up for guys, you're sacrificing draft capital, and you're making four picks. Two of them end up being starters, and Cruikshank has played, but, you know, you do set yourself back as far as depth is concerned, which comes up a lot with this team. So their process is, Bob, that they're looking for places where they can get a deal, Julio Jones included in that, Bud Dupree, the same, although Bud still got top of market money because ACLs are a lot more routine. I think you have to take each injury from an individual standpoint. And, you know, the book is still out on Caleb Farley, but, you know, the 2020 draft class, outside of Christian Fulton, it's not ideal. Darrington. It's good that I'm going to get to talk to him because it's the only day for me to talk to people this week. Hello, buddy.
What's going on? Quick point of interest. I'm going to do a little housekeeping real quick. People, this week we will have a substitute teacher. I need you to act accordingly.
Yes.
Will Bowden, I listened to him on Friday night for Lucas. Lucas, he does a great job. This is not Buck Rising that we will be talking to this week. So make sure you keep your questions and your comments to Will Bowden and not Buck Rising. Please be respectful while the teacher is away for the week. That's it for the housekeeping. Now, my point, I've been saying this about Ryan Tannehill, and I want to make an apology now. I called him Baker Mayfield. At least when Baker Mayfield has 200 yards of rushing, he still wins the game. This guy can't even do it. 93 yards of passing will not do it. And I don't just blame him. I also blame the play calling. He's terrible. That has to stop. Now, my question for you, Mr. Buck, mm-hmm. Do you think with some of these players that's out, like a David Long, do you think this is kind of increases his value to see how much he's worth? Because he's an attacking machine, and I like his effort. And for those people who keep talking about injuries, this is bothering me. A lot of these injuries are coming from because players are making so much money, and they become divas. They don't put the same type of effort into their work no more. So when they get a cramp, they have a torn muscle. So they're out. They get underpaid regardless. So a lot of players do think like that. You still have some war warriors, and they're going to be out there. But for the most part, they're a little soft now. They don't practice 2 days. The regimen's not the same. So I just want to leave it on that. Buck, I hope you have a great time. Hope you have safe travels. Lucas, I know you're going to be on the break. I hope you have a good time. Come back refreshed. Come back better. I would say tighten up, but the way Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback, just keep being mediocre. Y'all have a good one.
he's going to take our jobs. I swear to God. There's so many. The man has so many takes. Where to even begin? The mailing it in, it's sometimes, right? Like I heard a lot about Jadeveon Clowney in that way, that he probably shut it down before it was necessary. So you can take it in individual cases, but that's just a blanket accusation that Darrington is lobbing out there about all professional athletes.
I think Clowney wanted to shut it down last night, chasing Lamar Jackson around for 3 hours.
Oh, my God, he looked miserable.
So funny. He was so frustrated.
I know that gave Titans fans great joy to watch Jadeveon Clowney just be right there, and then nothing. And Lamar Jackson, touchdown, Mark Andrews, even though he was throwing 4 interceptions in the middle of that game. I think that the injury, I don't know how healthy you can get in a week and a half, right? Because it's a lot. It's a lot of players. But the one question that we've been asked a lot, and I do want to play this before we go back to the phones and wrap things up for the day. Derrick Henry, I've gotten a lot of questions about him and really about a lot of these injured players. Where are they right now? And the question is they're here. They're at St. Thomas Sports Park. But Mike Vrabel, specifically about Derek and the other injured guys, I thought shed good light on what their day-to-day looks like at this point.
He's on an injured reserve program, so he comes in after, you know, there's a lot of guys. We only have so many tables. We only have so much room in there. And so, you know, those guys are spaced out after, you know, when the team meeting starts, those guys usually come in and start their treatment. And then guys, you know, filter through as we, you know, have breaks. And so I don't see much of a reason to have those guys in meetings right now. That don't have a, you know, usually about a week out, we try to put them, or what we think may be a week out, we start to put them in meetings based on each and every player. But he's around. He's around the guys. I see him in the training room and, you know, working hard to do everything he can to get back.
So that's the latest on Derrick Henry. I don't know if that alleviates your concerns or answers the questions, but that's what you get. Get James. James will be the last caller of the day. James is in Smyrna. What's up, buddy?
Buck, enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And I have a different take. Maybe someone's mentioned it, but I'm not ready to put this on the training staff and the conditioning staff. I'm sure they do the standard things that training staff and conditioning staffs do around the league. But have you ever heard of you reap what you sow?
Sure.
And maybe the Titans, they've created this image of being the bully of the NFL, and they're tough and smash mouth, and
So teams know when they play the Titans, they're going to have a physical game.
Sure.
So they may be bringing their A game physicality, and they're really popping the Titans real hard.
You know,
and creating some of these injury situations.
I appreciate that call, James, because, you know, I think here's what I'll say. I noticed Derek getting a hit a lot harder this year. Like, there were moments when he'd get second level against the Jets, for example, and they would find ways to wrap him up so fast in ways that you don't necessarily, you're not accustomed to seeing Derrick Henry taken down that way. I'm not saying that it's something that Derek's doing or something, a step that Derek's lost or anything like that, but I don't completely discount that as a theory. And I would say that, you know, NFL teams can have it or not have it on any given week, and I don't know how much more you're getting up for a game against the Titans as opposed to the Patriots or the Chiefs or the Browns or whomever, right? But with a physical style of play like that, you know, you're the one more often doing the punishing as opposed to the defenders. Something to keep in mind. Although you did see Derrick Henry taking a lot harder hits this year. When we come back, this is my only show for the week, so we'll do the only poll segment that I'll be here for. And I don't know what everybody else is doing, but for us, that's next. Lucas was scared to play this song. He asked me if this was culturally insensitive. I said no, but I'm a very gentrified version of an Egyptian anymore, so maybe I'm not the best sample size. Welcome back.
Great song.
It is a great song. I am returning to the land of my ancestors tonight, in fact. I'm going to hit the road at 6:45, and I've only just gotten home, but I'm excited to go. I'll be excited once I get there. I think the 20 hours there and 20 hours back flight element of things is mentally jacking with me, especially off a road game in the North Korea of professional football, Foxborough, Massachusetts. But I'm excited. I'm deciding. I can't decide whether I should like bring something back, some papyrus for the studio, but like I don't want somebody's like toenail clippings to end up on it or something like that.
So. Yeah, bring me something back.
Bring you something back? So not for everybody, but for you.
Yeah, like some Egyptian, you know, a nice Egyptian beverage or like some couscous, you know.
You want me to get stopped at customs because you wanted like some kind of sleepy time tea.
I think if it's in a check bag, you're good.
All right, very good. I will risk life and limb while having to fight against the Omicron variant shutting down half of the world while I'm getting ready to do international travel, which is just, I'm not worried about getting there. I'm worried about getting back. So maybe this will end up being the Lucas Panzeca show, and you guys will finally get what you have wanted so desperately. Before we do polls, give me a Panzeca Nashville SC update, because I heard they choked last night.
Last one of the season. Fell short of the conference final for a second consecutive year. 1-1, losing in penalty kicks to Philadelphia Union. It was a tough shootout. They didn't convert one. A tough way to end a really good season that, you know, sets up nicely for new stadium opening in May 1st. Also, by the way, against Philadelphia Union, who they crashed out against last night. But Hani Mukhtar might still win MVP. He scored the goal to put them in front, but set-piece defending did them in all year long. It did them in last night, conceding a corner kick goal in stoppage time of the first half. But all things considered, it was a fun season, and they've really built a foundation for moving forward, and they're pretty much done at Nissan Stadium.
Well, and as you mentioned, ahead of schedule on their new stadium, which is going to be really, really cool to see. Hani Mukhtar is from Germany, correct?
He's from Germany. He is a dual citizen. He's recently announced that his national allegiance will be Saudi Arabia, I believe.
Okay. I was just going to say, I have an uncle, Hani. Anyway. polls.
Joints like hay scoop.
Yes.
Stop the count.
Yeah.
The polls have closed. The votes are in. It's time for a poll update, Scoop.
A poll update? Yeah.
Zoink, Scoop. Here's Buck Rising Show daily correspondent Lucas Panzeca.
Lucas Panzeca? Yeah.
It's the dumbest one we have. Oh, no, you ruined it. With the club music.
I just can't not picture Rhett alone in his studio going back and forth with himself. Oh, I love it.
He's a full-on schizophrenic.
Have you ever seen a fan base so excited for a bye week? 81% say no.
Yeah. I've never seen a fan base in any sport clamoring for a bye as badly as the Tennessee Titans fans are this week. But I understand you have broken the record for the number of players that have dressed for you this season. The time has come to rest.
I will say, got to get healthy, because when you come out of the bye week, 3 games in 12 days.
Yeah, there is that, because you will have, and I think the Niners are looking better. I think the Steelers look washed with Big Ben, but that defense is still good enough to cause you some problems, given that your problems are very turnover-centric at this point in time. So it'll hit you hard in the face, and I think by the time we all get back, me in particular, I'm going to be ready. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself for 5 days. I don't know if I've ever, as a professional, not worked for 5 days.
What is Ryan Tannehill's ceiling with the Titans? Taylor says, there's your ceiling, Buck, with the gif of the Titans celebrating a what looks like a Madden 22 Super Bowl. Yeah. Brandon says, for the first time, I'm really starting to wonder. AJ says, what ceiling? And several replies saying basically the 2020 season is Ryan Tannehill's ceiling.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the ceiling is the roof. Those were my favorite responses. Thank you, Michael Jordan. I mean, the ceiling is the Super Bowl, as long as there is somebody to help him. Somebody that's not going to fumble in the two-minute drill when you're trailing 13-6. Somebody who's not going to cough up the football because he doesn't, quote, feel the defender alongside of him because he thinks he's going to pull away. All right, Deontay. Either way, Ryan Tannehill needs more help. And if he doesn't get it, what you're watching and what you have seen from him in Miami when he didn't have enough help is the experience that you're going to get moving forward.
Who is the biggest threat to the Titans in the AFC this week? 48% say the Patriots, 24% Ravens, 21% Chiefs, 7% say Bills.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the Patriots are the right answer. They look the scariest, and you had a pretty good game plan to push them around yesterday.
Speaking of injuries, by the way, notification, breaking news, Christian McCaffrey done for the year.
Oh, my God.
Why do you think Lincoln Riley is taking the USC job? Harry Douglas chimes in, says, you know why, Buck. Competition going to get steeper in the SEC.
Why did you say competition that way?
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
It happens. Yes, Harry knows what we all know, that Lincoln Riley is a coward and he wants to cruise in the Pac-12. And not face the big boys in the SEC.
Josh says, better chance of making the playoffs and keeping your job.
Yeah, listen, I mean, cowardice or job security? One could argue both.
Is there any reason for Vols fans to worry about Josh Heupel going to Oklahoma yet? 63% say no, 37% say yes. Football and Other F-Words say, I just voted yes for chaos.
Well, Zach Lyons, who runs the Football and Other F-Words account, is a perpetual violence chaos creator.
And then Sam Smith says, Buck, buddy, I know you're new here, but this is Tennessee. Always have the cup on.
That is the correct answer to the question. And that will conclude the poll questions. Are you guys going to do polls this week?
Maybe we'll take a break from the polls.
Okay. No polls for the rest of the week, I guess.
We'll give our listening audience in the Twitter sphere a break from the polls.
I think that they very much enjoy Rhett Bryan's impression of Shaggy and Scooby-Doo, but what can I do about it? I love you all. I will talk to you on Monday, next Monday, when I will return, hopefully, back from the Middle East. I'm sure I will tweet, because I can't stay off my phone if I'm not going to be working. So we will be in communication in some form or fashion. Lucas will make sure that everything stays on track, but not tomorrow or the next day, because he's out. See ya!